I just say one other notice, and that is that we've got all the Christmas flyers available and ready to be distributed in the area. They're on tables out there with roads and people's names. If you could grab your pack today and get them distributed this week, that'd be great. If you've never done that before and you'd be willing just to spend a couple of hours this week doing that in a local road, there are some roads that don't have people allocated to them, so please grab a pack and get them out in the next 4 or 5 days. That'd be great. We're going to turn now in our Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. We're going to read the first 5 verses. If you're using one of the purple church Bibles, that's on page 1063. 1063. So it's John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Now these verses are written to give us a clearer understanding of Jesus. And over the next few weeks we're going to be thinking about these verses and verses 1 to 18, which are the kind of the prologue of John's Gospel. These words written to help us have a clearer understanding of Jesus. Now that's very important, particularly maybe at Christmas time, with all the other things that get in the way of the real meaning of Christmas. But they weren't written specifically for Christmas, because having a clear understanding of Jesus is a year-round concern. It is continually our concern. Now, why is it important that we should have a clear understanding of Jesus? Because as we're going to see this morning, it is Jesus who brings change for the better. It is Jesus who brings change for the better. And that's something that we all long for. I expect even in our conversations over coffee after the service, we will be talking about, partially, things that are worrying us, concerning us. We want to see in our lives change for the better. We want to see in our world change for the better. We want to see even in our hearts change for the better. And there's 3 ways in which these verses do that. The way that they show us that Jesus brings change for the better. Firstly, the first couple of verses give Jesus an unusual title and tell us something about his position. They call him the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. So firstly, it tells us about a title and a position. Secondly, you see that in verse 3, it tells us something about his history. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. And then lastly, we get a lovely picture of the present and the future. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. So firstly, this opening couple of verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Now, in the rest of John's Gospel, in almost the whole of John's Gospel, Jesus is referred to as the Son. But in these opening verses, he is given the title, the Word. If you look down to verse 14, it comes up again there. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. Which makes it clear that the writer here, talking about the Word, is talking about Jesus. Now that title or name, the Word, carries the idea of something which is said, which brings about change. It brings about results. Something spoken that transforms. So think about this. What is it that makes the difference between the way a football team plays in the second half from the way they played in the first half? They could have a rubbish first half and then come out very differently in the second half. What makes the difference? Something that the manager said. They come out changed men. It almost gives a different definition to the changing room. We're going to go back to the changing room. We're going to come out changed men because of something the manager or the coach said. Words change things. Think about in your own lives. Think about those words, I'm sorry. How they change things, don't they? Think about those words, I love you. They bring change with them. Words with the power to change life. That's one of the reasons why the writer here refers to Jesus as the Word. He's an agent of change. Think about the way that God's word is spoken about as something powerful, bringing change. Think about that little phrase in the Psalms. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Do you get the idea of that? The word is an agent of change, coming out from God, bringing transformation. And here the word is spoken of as being a person. We might call him the active member of the Godhead, bringing change, change for the better. So Jesus is the agent of change for the better. And we all want to see change in our lives and in our world and even in our hearts. And here is Jesus spoken of as the Word, the Godhead's agent for change, bringing change for the better. But also, he knows what better means. He knows where we should be heading. He knows what change needs to take place. He knows the direction our lives should be going in. So when we ask some of those kind of big questions about life, what does it mean to be human? What is expected of me? What is my purpose? Here is the Word who brings change for the better, and he knows what better should be. He knows what better looks like. He knows the purpose of our lives. In Will Smith's film, iRobot, a robot is created with a specific purpose of stopping the robot population from mounting a rebellion, a kind of a robot revolution. And the robot succeeds in the task for which he was made. And then he comes to the character, played by Will Smith, and says, okay, I've done what I was made for. Now, what do I do? What purpose do I have now? What's my role? What's my goal? And Will Smith basically says to him, I haven't got an answer to that question. Join the club. Because the question you've just asked about purpose is the question that we humans have been asking all through history. What are we here for? Just to get power? Just to accumulate? Just to get pleasure? Or just to get nowhere? Jesus, the Word, who brings change for the better, knows what better is. He knows what our purpose is. So when we come to Jesus, we come to the God-man, the perfect man, the model human, the one who in himself holds the key to our purpose. And we need that, don't we? We need to know what our purpose is, the reason for being. We get that from a better understanding of Jesus. That's why these words at the beginning of John's Gospel are so important. They give us an understanding of our purpose. I wonder whether you might then just take these words away this morning. That title, The Word. The position of that one, the Word was with God, the Word was God. Why are we told that? Because we're being reminded that there's an agent of change from the Godhead here. He has a purpose. He wants to bring things about. He can move us in that direction. Now, to help us have confidence in him as that agent for change who gives us purpose, we're told this in verse 3. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. So firstly, we're told that this one here has a history of bringing about change. What evidence is there that the Word is the agent of change and can change you and me? Because in history, he has brought about the greatest change. He's the one who created out of nothing. He made all things. Change and bringing change is in his very nature. But also, as he made all things, he knows what things were made for. He knows what life is intended for. My family and I were once staying with some relatives in the States, and they had a very large double garage. It was full of all sorts of different fascinating things. Things mainly to do with family life, so camping stuff and skiing equipment and all sorts of bits and pieces like that. Most of it was pretty familiar. But one thing in that garage puzzled me. There was a single tennis ball on a piece of string. The piece of string was about 3 foot long, hanging down from the ceiling, and it was about 4 foot from the back of the garage. And at first I thought it was something that the children hit with, like a tennis racket or something like that, but I realised it was too high for them, and it was kind of too near the wall, because you'd kind of hit the racket against the wall if you got too close there. So when the man of the house arrived, I couldn't stop myself asking, "Roger, what's all this about?" It simply said, "When I drive my car into the garage, I keep going forward until the tennis ball touches the windscreen of my car. And then I know it's time to stop. My car is just in the right place. Far enough in to shut the garage door, but not too far so that my bumper hits the wall." You see, the person who put the tennis ball there knew what its purpose was. Jesus made all things. He knows what their purpose is. So why can you and I trust Jesus to bring change for the better? Because he brought about the greatest change in creation. Through him all things were made. And why can we trust him to tell us what life is all about and head us in the right direction? Because he made it. He knows what it's for. So look, perhaps this morning you are baffled by some of the circumstances in your life. Perhaps you struggle with the course that your life is taking. And perhaps particularly this morning, as a retired person, you found it difficult to carry on with a sense of purpose without that obvious role that maybe you had in the workplace. Maybe you see the world which was familiar to you as a younger person kind of vanishing into history. And you wonder, what is my role? What is my purpose? What is my goal? Well, here is Jesus, the one who made all things. He knows that purpose. He helps us to make sense of our lives, even in difficult circumstances, to give us a role, even an eternal role. So I wonder whether you might kind of acknowledge that you need him for these things this morning. I wonder whether you might take these well-chosen words away with you even this morning. Why not even just memorize these first 5 verses of John's Gospel this week? There's just 5 sentences here. Meditate on them. Go over them. Let them do the job for which they were intended, to give you a clearer understanding of Jesus, a confidence in him, even a joy in him. You see, in many ways, my prayer is that the truth about Jesus here would kind of do battle with your wrong thinking about him. That it would do battle with our doubts. It would go to work on the pits, the deep pits of unbelief which lurk in our hearts. That the truth about Jesus would wrestle with our doom and our gloom and our despondency sometimes about life. And that's really the kind of thing that the last couple of sentences is about, this lovely picture of light and darkness. Let's just finish off by looking at that. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. So here's a great promise of change in the Lord Jesus. Now, when my wife was at university, she once wrote a dissertation about the themes of light and dark in the plays of Ionesco. So if that ever comes up at the Grove Hill quiz, and it hasn't done so far, so it's probably due to come up, you know where to look for the answer. But the point is, themes of light and darkness are not unfamiliar to us. They're quite easy for us to latch onto. I understand, because I'm up to date with these things, that the next Star Wars film to be released next spring is called Into the Darkness. It's a very common theme, isn't it? People combating something bad, that use of light and dark is often used. Now, the point here is that these are universal images we can easily get hold of. And again, here is the idea of Jesus bringing change for the better on a big scale, bringing light into darkness. But just note with me, what does it say here about the meeting of light and darkness? Look at that in verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There's another way of translating that word, understood. You see at the bottom of your page, you find a little note there. It could be translated this: the darkness has not overcome the light. Now, the words in the original can have both meanings. Has not understood it, has not overcome it. Now, there are words that we use that have both those meanings. Think of the word grasp. We say, I didn't grasp what he meant. We use it in I don't understand. But we also use it this way: I had to grasp hold of my dog. I had to overcome it. Or think of the word master. I've mastered the science of material physics. I understand how it works. And now it can work for me. I've mastered it. The light of Jesus and all that God has done through him shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood or overcome it. It's not grasped it. It's not mastered it. The promise of change cannot be stopped. It cannot be denied. The darkness does not understand the light. Our dark world, which has turned its back on God's light, cannot grasp the fact that our God is so loving that he sent his Son, the Word made flesh, the one who was both God and with God, to come into the world as a babe at Christmas, to go to the cross as a man at Easter, in order that dark-hearted people like us might be brought back to him. That love, you see, is beyond us. It's almost of another dimension. It's almost too good to be true. We can't grasp it. We need help to see it and believe it and trust it. And that help is here, because the darkness does not overcome the light. The light continues to shine into our ignorance, into our stubbornness. Nothing can stop it. So that in spite of our ignorance and of our dark hearts, the light shines on. It penetrates. It brings illumination. God, by his Spirit, gives us eyes to see something of the glory of Jesus. The darkness cannot stop his light. So two things to finish with this morning before we sing. Firstly this: look, if the things about Jesus are new to you, if some of them are baffling, if some of it almost seems out of this world, do not despair. We've been reminded this morning that God's written word is simply to be read. We don't need code books or priests to interpret it. Read it. Read about Jesus. Read it as you would read anything else, and trust that God will give you understanding of him. Ask him to give you the eye of faith, and do so with confidence, believing that the darkness of your past or your resistant heart is no match for the light of Christ. He shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. And then to us as believers, perhaps this morning, struggling in our dark world, with so much darkness in our hearts, perhaps we need to come afresh to Jesus today, to come with confession acknowledging our unbelief, our doubts and our fears, acknowledging that our dark hearts so often fail to fully understand Jesus as we should, but coming with confidence that we come to the one who brings change for the better. So come with confidence that nothing can stop that light shining. So that messy relationship that you'd rather was kept in the dark can be transformed by his light. That rotten habit that you would rather not be known or spoken about can be dealt with and become history because of the light he can bring. And those dark thoughts that are so often there with us can be a thing of the past because of the light he brings. Nothing can stop the light of Jesus. Well, let's sing about that in our closing song. It's going to be in the blue book. You should find one in front of you. It's number 300.